Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 2.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Amen, amen, and amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to welcome you to the program this morning. It's Saturday, the 16th of June, 2018. God bless you. I thank you for calling in today. If you called in, it's 646-668-2636. And you'd like to join our conversation discussion today, just press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. Also, for those of you who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we thank you for taking time out your Saturday morning and joining us, even if you're listening to the rebroadcast, because you can always go to the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and listen to the archive of all of our past shows. And also, it is a button there you can click for follow, and you can get an update when we go live or download new programs. Amen? Amen. So this morning, we're going to talk about character traits of a godly man. Character matters. Character matters in our lives. And especially for us Christian men, it's important that our character starts to reflect the Word of God in our community. Well, let me say this, in our families first, then in our church and in our communities. Are we a man of good character? What was our reputation? And then I think about character, I think about our reputation, what people think about us, how we carry ourselves, how do we live? Are we really transformed? Are we renewed in our mind, in our character, in our walk, in the things we do and say? So today, I'm going to touch on some of those. Again, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we want to encourage you. For any brother out there that's listening, we're here to encourage. We're not here to chastise. We know we don't hold ourselves up on a pedestal like we all have it together. These are the things that we struggle with, to overcome, because this walk of sanctification in the body of Christ, once we've given and surrendered ourselves to Jesus Christ, he starts to make us better through the power of his Holy Spirit, through his word, through fellowship, through accountability. So that's what we do here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. That's our goal. That's our mission, to encourage the brothers. This morning I have Elder Mark Gaines from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders joining me this morning to help discuss and hopefully encourage and teach you. Good morning, Elder. Can you hear me?
Good morning, sir. Yes, I can. Loud and clear.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother, for taking time out your morning and joining us today. And I pray that, you know, everything is well with you and your family as
yes,
we continue
sir,
to amen, as we continue to press in and encourage the brothers. I have one announcement here real quick I want to share for those locally here in the Baltimore, D.C. area, Anne Arundel County, Howard County, D.C., PG County, Baltimore City, Baltimore County. You know who you are, and you know what you know. So some of our listeners are out of state, but you know who you are. On July the 7th, 2018, we're going out into the community. We're going to have a suicide prevention day, awareness, knowledge, and education. It's sponsored by the Community of Love United Outreach Organization and the Covenant Lifehouse Ministries of Glen Burnie. And I'll be out there. My church out there, Jesus List Family Ministries, will be out there. And we're going to be able to minister to the community. We're going to share awareness, knowledge, and education about suicide prevention. It's going to be a community day. It's going to be food. It's going to be entertainment. It's going to be speakers. It's going to be resources from the counties, local governments, social services, mental health organizations. We're going to come into the community and share Suicide Prevention Day. You know, a lot of recently here locally in the news, for those of you know, there's a lot of media coverage of recent famous suicides. But I ask you all to consider this: in your family, in your community, in your church, on your job, how many people you know or think could be just on the edge of suicide? And do we know how to recognize the signs? Do we know what to do if we hear of someone in crisis or know someone in crisis who's ready to end their life because of the pressures and the burdens or whatever it is in their life that they feel like they have no other choice and they're about to give up? So we have to consider that. And we have to be able to investigate the body of Christ, because we have to be able to share and encourage folks, even those faithful members who have been coming up for years. They could be Holy Ghost filled and all these things, but yet what's struggling they battle with on the inside with depression and other things can push them over the edge to just give up, you know. And if some people in the church and that the teaching is not sound, they think that, you know, ending it here on this earth will put them in the presence of God. I know there's a great debate about suicide and hell and redemption and eternal punishment. But again, I leave that to the wisdom of God and I leave that to the word of God. But suicide is not the answer. And for anyone who's listening, suicide is not the answer. Reach out, seek help. And for those of us who are out here, you know, be mindful. Pray for folk you haven't seen in a while. Pray for folk where things are going on. You know, I've learned a long time ago in this Christian walk, we don't know what people are going through. If we see them on Sunday, we see them at Bible study. But the struggles don't come when they're in the company of the saints. The struggles come sometimes when they're alone, sometimes in their own homes. And we just don't know. But we continue to pray, be mindful, and be prepared to help and give resources and connect somebody with counseling or whatever it takes, that someone will not go to the extreme of suicide. Again, we have Suicide Prevention Day, Saturday, July the 7th. We're going to be located at 1153 Reese Road in Severn, Maryland. We're going to be out in front of the Turning Heads Barbershop parking lot from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Again, the address is 1153 Reese Road in Severn, Maryland. Zip code is 21144. You can always go to our Issues Christian Men Talk Facebook page. You'll see the flyer posted there, the link to connect with the brother. That's Brother Ralph Boom. You can call him at 410-412-4945. If you and your church want to come out and get a table, set up the table, share, be part of the event, to reach the community, to encourage the local community here. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay, well, today also, in this 2018, I encourage everyone who's listening, every man, woman, child, pastors, elders, deacons, all my brothers out there, the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is what's going to save souls. This is what's going to convert and turn hearts around. So I encourage you. You know, what are we doing evangelism? outside the communities, out in the communities, outside the four walls of the church? Do we have a strategy and a game plan? Do we have a strategy and game plan for a lot of things in the body of Christ, but do we have a strategy and game plan to fulfill the Great Commission? Some is here, kids are out of school. I know a lot of folk, you know, but you planned your vacation, but did you plan to be a service, to be used by God to fulfill his purpose? I just leave that on every heart of every person listening. I know you might have planned vacations. You might have planned the things you're going to do all summer long. You got plans for the kids. They're going to summer camp and day camp and all this stuff. But where is God and his Great Commission for these summer months? We always have a plan for the summer, but do we have a plan to serve and sanctify and sacrifice ourselves for God? Amen? Again, amen. And we're going to share, but I, real quick, for my non-believing and non-Christian members, I mean listeners, I'm sorry, the listeners who may or may not know Christ and may have tuned in by invitation or just like to listen, remember what the gospel is. You know, sometimes we have to, as Christian men, as servants in ministry, we have to remember, everyone doesn't know God, everyone doesn't know the true gospel, everyone doesn't have a praying grandmother or grandfather, or they have a dead pastor, daddy was a pastor and a deacon. Everyone wasn't raised that way. This is why we are called to go out into the communities and reach the lost. So I just wanted to encourage you today. The gospel, in the simplest terms, if you're listening and never heard it, God made everything. The God of the Bible made everything out of nothing, including you and me. His main purpose in creation was to bring him pleasure. The chief way in which we as humans and humanity, we do this through loving, obeying, and enjoying him perfectly. This is what Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. The original people were created in perfect harmony and connection and love and obedience to God. But because of sin, Adam sinned. Adam ate of the fruit. Our loving creator took this act of high-handed rebellion. It was because of Adam's rebellion, every human being is tainted with sin and separated from God. If we read, again, I encourage you, read Genesis chapters 1 through 11, and most of the gospel is there is to believe, chapters 1 through 11 of Genesis. God has vowed that he will righteously and lovingly judge sinners for eternal judgment. And when we talk about being saved and salvation, we have to remind folks that we are being saved from the wrath of God, not hell, not the devil. That's all, again, if we study and understand Scripture, we understand hell was created for the devil and the demons who followed him out of hell in rebellion. That's their punishment. Then that's the punishment we're going to get, because that's God's wrath for the unrighteous sin. So we want to be saved from God's wrath and live in his love. But God, being merciful and loving and gracious, sent his own son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of man, to live as a man, fulfill his perfect requirements in the place of us sinners, all human beings, all mankind, living obedient and joining him perfectly. And further, Jesus bore the eternal judgment of God upon him at the cross of Calvary. This is why Jesus was beaten, why he was crucified and hung on a cross, because that was the anger and wrath of God on him, and he took our place. So he stood in the place of us as sinners. Every man, child, woman, your grandmama, your auntie are sinners, and Christ died for them. God treated Jesus as a sinner, though he was perfect and sinless, that he might declare sinners perfect. Because of his words of what Christ did, we are now redeemed to God, just as because of what Adam did, we are sinners and separated from God. So what Adam did and what Christ did is what the gospel is. The glorious transaction occurs as sinners put their faith. We depend and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our substitute. He took our punishment. He stood in the gap and took the substitute for us. God then charges Christ's perfection to the sinner because he was perfect and took full judgment of God upon himself for us. Now, when God looks at us, he doesn't see us as rebellious, disobedient sinners. He sees us. He sees God, Jesus Christ's perfection. And he sees us no longer as enemy, but as children, as sons. And we're covered in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, because Christ willingly took the beating, nailed to the cross, crucified, and was placed in a tomb. And God furnished his perfect sacrifice and accepted it, because on the third day, by the power of God, he rose Jesus for death, rose Jesus from the dead. And that's what the scripture teaches, that in 3 days he rose from the dead and was not in the grave. So today we understand Jesus Christ is alive because God accepted his sacrifice and punishment as full payment for us as sinners. And that is shown by his resurrection from the dead. God will judge the world in righteousness. All those who are not covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, depending on him for forgiveness, will be forced to stand on your own and bear the eternal anger of God. So ask yourselves, are you willing to stand in the eternal judgment of God as Christ did already for you? Or are you willing to accept what he's done and now be obedient to be in him and believe by faith that who Christ says he was in Scripture? So therefore, we must turn from our sin. We must repent. Repent is one thing sometimes we leave out of the gospel, because repentant means we turn from our sin. We know no living a sinful, disobedient, rebellious life. We receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And he is Lord, he is our leader, and he's our master, and we abide by his word and his teachings, and we strive to live by his life through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the study and understanding and knowledge of his word, fellowship of the saints, because we hold each other accountable. That's my gospel message. I pray someone's heart is turned to come to understand it. All of everything else, if you have any questions, I encourage you to call in here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, 646-668-2636, or find you a Christian that you know, ask your questions. If they can't ask your questions, find you a church with a Bible study. Find a Bible study and go there and ask the question to speak and understand, because God is willing to speak to you directly to make you understand, because when the time of judgment comes, no one can say they didn't know, didn't hear. There's too much out here of Christians and the word of God going out. But when no one's going to stand before God, because Christ will not return to every soul that's been reached and has to choose. These are the choices that we have to make as individuals. Amen? Amen. All right. I promise, no more preaching for the rest of the show. Elder Mark, how are you, sir? Can you hear me? Are you still there with me, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm blessed and taking it in, God, for what you do and your dedication, sir.
Amen. I thank you, bro. Again, I thank you for taking time out and joining me. You know, it's a thing. That's where we are. It's the body of Christ. We're united. We're pushing together to try and accomplish the goals to reach those lost. But tonight, we're going to talk about character traits. Encouragement, let the brothers know that we are called as men of God to live a certain way. So we just wanted to talk a little bit. I wanted you to come on and share a little bit about some specific character traits that we may encourage someone. Because again, you know, we live our lives sometime out of habit, out of tradition, and we don't really make a change. And one of the things I like to always tell brothers, anyone really, but especially men, every point and aspect of their life, the Bible has an answer for it. But you just have to be diligent and look to it to seek it out. The Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So if you're looking for a different kind of life and a different kind of thinking, a different kind of heart, the Word of God is there for you. But, bro, I'm going to let you start. Our first character trait we want to talk about is being agreeable, being a person who's agreeable in context of relationships. What do you say about that, sir?
You know, when we talk about being agreeable, especially looking at a context and our desires, like you said, for our lives to be different, for things to change, so many times we agree with people doing things that we know they shouldn't do, and we pacify ourselves, and we don't look at what the Bible tells us, what the solutions the Bible gives us. You know, as you said, for anybody, every situation, anything you go through, the Bible has the answers. And we're so fast as we are agreeable that we don't look at the Bible solutions. And that's our best way to be a support, to be agreeable with somebody, is to do so without compromising the truth, without being scared to tell somebody, hey man, this isn't the right thing to do, brother. We might need to look at a different way. We need a different understanding. And I think that's a thing that I'm so proud to been a change in my life, that can agree with someone's plight and problems, but my solution or my offer of a solution will always rest on biblical principles. And I think if we can do that, that we can serve one another in support. We can serve one another in a way that changes lives, and that's what we're called to do, and that's where we should be. And the desire to do so is a place where your life begins to change, because you'll look at your life in retrospect to see where you fit as it pertains to the biblical solutions, for lack of a term, the biblical ideology, the biblical laws, the way of life, the way to follow God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You know, you're right. I agree. Sometimes, like you say, it's finding a solution and supporting others without compromising the truth. You know, it's anything. You know, even if you're talking to a, I'll keep it real for you. You have a couple, you know the brother, you know his girlfriend. They living together. They living together. They got kids together, but they never got married. So. How do you minister to, you want to minister to them, they're going to hell, they're living in fornication, blah, 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 blah. But is that really being, I can agree and understand their relationship and their commitment to one another. But yet also I have to be able to tell them about what God says about marriage and commitment and relationships and covenant. You know, and I shared this with a young minister that I know once. You know, he was going to minister to a couple that, you know, they've been together a while and they got a child together. They've been living together. They got all these things together. They've been playing marriage, what I used to call it. They're playing marriage, but they haven't actually got married. But then he's going to minister. He wants to minister to them to do the wedding. You have to remember, if they don't believe God, if they don't understand the gospel, nothing you're going to say is necessarily going to be moved. They're just looking for you to come and do their marriage ceremony. And have that ceremony in the big day, and have a preacher there. So I told the young man, I'm not an ordained minister, but I said you have to consider what you're really doing. Sometimes you have to pray about it. I'm not saying that you can do it, because I know pastors who've got years in, who have married folk. But I said you need to be true to the gospel first, because nothing, any advice you give them, the counseling you might give them. Even if they sit still for it, unless they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's not falling on good ground. Let me say that. But again, we could be agreeable. We can confirm family, because family is important. But we also have to be faithful to the God, Word of God, given opportunities to speak into people's lives, because that's what it is. We're all going to have opportunity to speak into the unbeliever, the sinner man, those who don't know. And are we faithful to the truth of the Word of God without compromising them? And then, you know, everything else I told them, I said, hey, you need to talk to your pastor, your overseer, and get confirmation that you should be doing this. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, we get our pride jumps in. Oh, man, I get to do my first wedding and my first. And, you know, but we're looking at the souls of the people. And are we making a good example? Because, again, those are always opportunities. And being agreeing with the Word of God, but yet showing ourselves friendly, it's a tricky thing. Amen.
Amen.
Real quick, bro. I'm flipping here. I got a paper Bible. I don't know if you got your digital one, but I'm gonna go to Amos 3 real quick. I'm gonna go to Amos. I was flipping as I was sharing, but I didn't make it. But Amos 3. Oh my goodness. Now the pages are sticking together. Oh my goodness. But again, we're talking about the character traits of God, character traits of a Christian man. And the first one we talk about is being agreeable and finding biblical solutions and supporting others in the things that they're going through, the issues of life, as we say. You know, are we being examples? Are we being living testimonies? Are we living up to what God has called us to be and faithful to His word? And do we share that word faithfully as we try to live it out, and then also are we taking all opportunities that we have to be able to share and be part of it? Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
I'm not finding it. Hold on. Oh, all right. Go ahead. Read it for us, brother.
Okay, and this is Amos 3, verse 3, reading from the King James Version. And it says, can two walk together except they be agreed?
Amen. Amen, amen. I know that scripture, but I like to always read it, give folks the opportunity to flip to their Bibles. Can two work together? Am I in agreement with those around me? Am I in agreement with the things, or am I in agreement with the world? So each man has to judge his character, and like I said, there's going to be opportunities in every man's life when he's going to have to speak truth in agreement, and then also with that, you know, are we supportive of others from a biblical standpoint? Because some people, I ask you this, bro. Well, at times in your life, there's some folk you had to let go. God's going to separate you from people because of our faith. So what do you say to that, sir?
Truly so. We have all lived a life in the past where we conform to different things. I mean, my testimony, we could be here for I don't know how many shows to talk about where I was and what I used to be and what I used to do. And never to think that I've got it all together yet. Still, God is working on me every day. But, yeah, it's people that are in my past that are, you know, I never have lost love for them. But my association, I can't walk with them the same way. Because in my life, I've answered to a different call. Where before I was accepting of behavior that was of the world, I indulged in behavior that was truly of the world. Now that I've seen a different call upon my life and a desire to live different, I understand that sin, the desire for sin, flesh, is a hard thing to fight. Every day it's harder and harder to fight temptation. And I understand that. So not that I agree with what they're doing, rather I don't pacify what they're doing, but I can't condemn somebody. But sometimes you have to step away from those that still want to stay in a place without changing, because what's the old saying? You can take a horse, lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. You can show somebody the right choices, but if their choices are still to remain where they are, sometimes you have to step away and just pray for them and let God do what he needs to do in them. Plant the seed and pray that God will fertilize it. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. I agree. You know, that's what we have to be as Christians sometimes. And I think I'll share this because I think our biggest struggle is our families, you know, our family members, all the way from our blood brothers and sisters, parents, our cousins, whatever, the homies we grew up with, from elementary school. All, you know, it's a struggle. It's not easy. But again, if we are obedient to God, you know, God will put people in our life and take people out of our life and bring people back into our lives. That's the other thing. You know, God is big enough to know, because God may be, you know, God may be using you to get you together to be able to minister to them. But he has to separate you from them so that you can bring them the gospel. Because, again, each of us is called to evangelize and fulfill the Great Commission. And you never know, years down the road, they hear the gospel from you and they will receive it because they knew who you're exactly, because they knew who you are and they seen the change in your life. So I encourage you, brother, stay faithful to God. And all your best buddy, friends, homies, just think about it. God is going to use you to bring them to Christ. So be obedient to his God word, and then let him control. Let him, you know, use you. Amen?
Amen. Just a testimony. Amen. In that, one of my very good friends when we were children, he was raised in the church. Of course, we weren't ones that always went to church every Sunday. But knew who God was. Both of our parents were the same. His mom passed, and his prayer was that his mom would be saved. If God would save his mom, he would do anything. And his mom died, and that took him to a place where he professed himself as an atheist. We didn't see each other for years after I went away to school. Kind of crossed paths here and there. Still no love lost. Remained friends. But here recently, he moved back to the area, and he came and asked me to pray for him. And when he said it, it kind of hit me like, whoa, what's going on? And then I just began to bless God, because I know it was a seed and something I prayed about, that his heart would be changed. It would be softened back toward God. And he just asked me to pray for him. Still working, still praying. But that, even that little bit of a change, that he would ask someone to pray for him from a point where he said he didn't even believe God existed, were just a blessing to know that as the seeds are planted, as we pray. So to those listening, you may not see it work today or tomorrow, but years down the line, those words, those things that you have done that people see a change in you might be what saved that very person's life. Back to you, sir.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Elder Mark Gaines, and we're talking about some of the character matters, some of the character traits of a Christian man. The next one we want to talk about is appreciation. And gives God our heartfelt thanks as a lifestyle of worship and adoration. This allows us to give and value others with respect and appreciation. I mean, that's one of the, that for us, you know, sometimes we take things for granted. We take people for granted. And even in our own lifestyle, because we're envious, we have pride. We think we're going out here getting our thing, we're getting mine, I'm getting my thing done, I'm looking after me and mine, and we don't think God has anything to do with it. We're making moves, we're making deals, and we don't give God our appreciation and understand that all that we have is His, all that we achieve is because of Him. And then all He asks is for our worship and adoration and thanking Him. You know, as for the Christians, for those, my brothers and those who are listening in the body of Christ, we also have to remember the spiritual blessings that we have. Because we've been saved by grace. Nothing we've done and nothing you're going to do is without God and doesn't know what the next thing God's going to ask you to do. And we take it for granted sometimes. We're saved and we Holy Ghost filled and we just have expectation. God is supposed to do this, supposed to do that. That's not what God is looking for, because that's pride. When you think God is supposed to do something for you because you've done something, you missed it. You need to repent. You need to check yourself. But having a character trait, living a life of appreciation to God, and that's a heartfelt thanks. And we show that not by words, but our lifestyles. Do we live a life of worship? Worship is not, I know we got it caught up sometime in the church out there, folk, but it's not in the building. It's living a life of worship and adoration because God, because we appreciate what He's done, and now we are obedient to Him. Because our obedience is what God is looking to. Tell this to our young Christians, and I even tell it to some brothers. God's not looking for perfection, even when we're struggling. He's looking for obedience, because you're not going to be perfect here on this earth, but He's looking for obedience. And the only way we can become obedient is knowing who He is through His word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through the fellowship of the saints and being held accountable. What do you say, sir, about appreciating God, living a life that is appreciating what God has done?
You know, I went through a period of illness coming out of college, and in that time period, I was asking God, why me, and why should I be, why am I going through this? And I never understood it. And then as I went through, my healing started to manifest, and I started to feel better. I was not going to the hospital like I was. And while I was going through the issues, I was praying, I was asking God, and I'm singing my praise songs and, thanking God that I'm feeling better. And then after a while, when I wasn't sick, I suddenly started kind of drifting away from having that much praise. It was like it wasn't my concentration like it was when I was going through something. And then it started to come back around, and I wondered why. And then I realized what I did, I stopped worshiping God in the midst of all my issues, and that worship is what overcame my issues. But when I stopped worshiping, those issues were right there to come back again. And I realized that, if I don't live a life that I'm in worship with God, all the things that God has granted me mercy in, has granted me favor in, how can I ask God for favor and grace and mercy or even forgiveness if I'm not willing to do the one thing He asks, and that's just worship His name? I mean, God has already done more than we could ever ask. There's nothing, He's already done enough. He forgave us of sin. He set His Son was given up for our sins. And if we can't worship Him, then that we owe God to just worship His name. Just that true hallelujah praise is what we owe God. So when we live our life, it doesn't mean you're just going to sing songs on Sunday or be in Bible study to say you know the scripture. It means that when you walk your walk, people can look at you and see that God is working on you, that God has done something different in you, that you live different than the ways of the world. You're not conformed to the way of the world. You live a life that represents God's love. When someone sees you, they see the love of God on you, and it resonates to them. I think that's what it truly means to appreciate God, a heartfelt appreciation in a lifestyle that represents God, being a representation. My pastor always says, she says the word represent, when you break it down, it means to represent God. So you're a chance to present God another time to someone else when you live a life that reflects who God is. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. I thank you for that. I thank you for that sharing and encouraging. I hope someone can hear that. And then men and brothers, again, I just want to encourage the brothers out there listening and the men out there, you know, because we hear Issues Christian Men's Talk. We the whole premise of why we started this and our vision and our purpose is to reach men who are in the body of Christ, so encourage them along their walk from the front of the church all the way to the back. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we all started in the back of the church. Some of us might have moved up to the front, but yet the struggles we go through, the burdens we bear in life, the things that we go through just as being men, as being husbands and fathers, is challenging. It's not easy being a father. It's not easy being a husband, and being a son is a great responsibility. If we are to be the son to our parents that we are called to be, there's responsibility there. So, again, I just want to encourage everyone and all the brothers out there that are listening. Today we're talking about some character traits, and just we want to use this. Hopefully you'll use this broadcast as an encouragement, as somewhere to start, to consider. Look at yourself in the mirror. Every man is to look at himself in the mirror and judge that man in the mirror. So I don't want to, again, we don't come, me and Elder Mark and myself, we don't come as having to profess that we have it all together. There's challenges. I mean, you know, we sometimes become the cliche, but to understand that we've matured from a place from where we first believed God to where we are living now and how we live in our lives, our family, and our communities. It's not just about being church. It's about how we live in our communities, our neighbors to the left of us, to the right of us, behind us, and in front of us, those we work with every day, the relationships, how people see our character, you know, in our workplace, in our businesses. So that's what it's bigger than the church. I hate to say that, because we ought to be the church. I mean, our local fellowships, when we come together, God is bigger than that. He wants saints out there. He wants his people out in the culture to affect the culture. Remember, Jesus came. He started with 12 men who were not part of the priesthood of Israel. He started with 12 men and was able to change the world. That's why we have scriptures. That's why we have Christianity today, because 2,000 years ago, he chose 12 men and who were faithful and obedient to what God had called them to do. So God is calling you to do the same thing, to reach people for Christ, to teach, to encourage, to love one another. So that's what we're doing here. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're talking about character matters. We're touching on some character traits in a godly man that we look to sharpen, to look to overcome, to look to start to live out the things of God. So far, we talked about being agreeable, finding biblical solutions, and supporting others without compromising the truth of God. We talked about being appreciation, gives God a heartfelt thanks as a lifestyle of worship and adoration. This allows us to and value others and respect them. Because of what God has done for us, we see every person, every sinner, saint, pastor, elder, deacon, homeless guy, the guy in Walmart, the supermarket. We see them all as a creation of God, the soul in need of salvation and the need of God. And what are we going to do to help them receive and understand that God? Or even, are we willing to bless them to help them get to see God? Amen? So we're living a lifestyle in how we live and how we treat others. Go ahead, sir.
Amen. I'm sorry, I was just in agreement with what you were saying. It just, you know, as we always talk, you know, testimony and that idea of just being transparent, like you said, you know, I pray that no one would ever think that as we're you know, conversing and talking here, that we are in a place that we've got it all together. Because Lord knows, I'm every day is a struggle to deal with the temptations of the flesh and to live a right life and just to carry myself as a godly man and to be an example to, you know, to my family and to my son and to stand up and be a role model for men. And, you know, being a role model doesn't mean necessarily men younger. Sometimes men older may see that you have changed. I talk to, you know, my uncles and ones that are still dealing with issues and desire that they would change because they see a change in me. And I just, you know, as we're just talking, it's just empowering to look at the different character traits of a man and just look at myself in retrospect and our relationship, to look back at what I've learned of you in the years that we've known each other, to see that we're all living a life that exemplifies who God is. And even though we're still working, it's always a desire to be greater and stronger the next day. And sometimes I thank God for the test that we have, because that's what gives us a chance for the testimony to be a greater man the next day following having passed the test. Back to you.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. Yeah, I appreciate that. We're going to touch on, we're getting close here, so I want to touch on a couple more, hopefully. We're just going to let it, we're going to flow to our time. But the next one I want to touch on is avoiding anger. And anger is something a lot of us struggle with. We're passive aggressive. We explode. We build up. We go days and weeks. We don't say nothing. We let it explode. And some of us are short fused. We go off at the drop of the hat. Something don't go our way. We don't like something. We're ready to go off. We're ready to curse. Again, you know who you are. Hopefully you can identify yourself. But as a man of God, we have to avoid anger. And I think for myself, this is one of the things that we have to search ourselves. Again, all of these character traits, we have to look inside ourselves at the guy that we look at in the mirror and we're brushing our teeth and shaving every day. And are we going to be that same guy we was yesterday, today? Are we going to submit to his word? I want to go to scripture real quick. And then I want you to share what your insights, Elder. Remember to James chapter 1. It's James chapter 1, verse number 19. And the word of God says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness, overflowing of witnesses, and receive with meekness imparted word, which is able to save our souls." Anger, avoiding anger. What do you say, sir?
Sir, that's one of the things that I had to deal with myself. I'm sitting here, and I just glanced at my arm and looked at the tattoo that I got when I was younger that says angry man. I was one of those that would snap in a second. I would curse you out from head to toe as quick as I could look at you just because I didn't like something you said, or it could be I didn't like where you were standing at the time that I was standing somewhere. I don't know where it started. I don't know where it began. I just bless God that it's under control and that I become a different person. But one of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, that as things happen, we would have a gentle spirit, that we would allow those things to almost, for lack of a term, to just roll off your back. You don't hold on to those things and blow up and flip out. And I think we have to find people to talk to let those things go, to find a voice that we can share, an accountability partner that will help you talk through things, someone that you can pray with, or someone that can just listen to allow you to vent without that anger being bottled up. So many of us will bottle up our anger. We'll hold on to situations until we've reached a point where everything, the slightest little thing, makes us flip out. It makes us just go, go ballistic. And I bless God that His word, the word of God says that He is the peace that passes all understanding. I pray every day for God to just continue to instill that peace in me, because I know that that spirit that I fought with and war with so many years ago still has the desire to just break out. And I just pray that, you know, that God continues to strengthen me and encourage me and empower me to just maintain that cool and serene attitude. Because without that, I can't relate to somebody else. I can't share life with somebody else. I can't love my wife. I can't be a role model for my son, or, you know, for my godchildren, or for my fellow brethren. I can't be a role model to them. I can't be a friend to them if everything I do reacts with anger. Avoiding anger, because it truly is a destructive force in any relationship. It's a destructive force in looking in the mirror at yourself. If you're so angry with yourself, you never forgive yourself. Even that can bring on illness, disease. They related so many things about unforgiveness to sicknesses and disease and breakdown of the body and mental stresses. Even to the point, as we talked about, you talked about the outing, the suicide. Even anger with yourself can lead to suicide. So those very things are things we have to just work against. Avoiding anger. Definitely a part of truly living a life representing God, avoiding anger. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, sir. You're right. You know, avoiding that anger, being able to live a life. But again, it's a challenge. It's again. This is where the God thing comes in for my young Christians or my unbelievers. This is the God thing, because as men, we get anger from a lot of places, from our childhood. Some of us, it started when we were young. We was kids, you know, we was angry, we was rebellious, we was whatever. Sometimes we did this out of survival, depending on where you was brought up and how you was brought up. You know, anger is, you know, I'm ready to knock somebody out in a minute. I'm not going to be taken advantage of. I'm not going to come on weak. And sometimes that manifests, that self-defense, then it turns into our character, who we are. We're known for being explosive and violent. But then, as the word of God is, we have to sometimes put that thing has to be transformed, because we can't live our lives angry all the time. We can't have the Hulk syndrome as men of God. We can't be, you know, David Banner, Holy Ghost, Christian-filled guy, but if something happened to us on the street, we're ready to convert back to who we were. You know, I got that, you know, we call it the Hulk syndrome. We call it Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, whatever it is. You know the thing that could set you off and turn you back around, that you're ready to go all in. But as men of God, our character, when the pressures and challenges of life come to us, how do we respond? You know, and I'm not saying, let me say this to my brothers out there. This is not about being a punk or being sore. There's a difference between being angry and lashing out physically, verbally, emotionally, and, you know, defending our loved ones. So it's really different. So we have to understand that. And that's where, again, we talk about accountability, having people in our lives, how we deal with situations. And some of it is, we have to be transparent, because when we are really struggling with some things, we can't go live a life where we're letting stuff build up in us that we explode, that we just can't take the pressure anymore. We have to have pressure releases. Because sometimes these are the things that God is testing our character, testing us. Are we going to believe his word? Are we going to apply his word faithfully and stand on his word until the challenge and the trial passes? I for my brothers out there, I point you to Job. I point you to the book of Job. Could you endure in the book of Job? So if that was you, if the book of Job was named after you, how would that come? How would it turn out? Amen. Amen. Well, Elder, let me, I'm going to come to you. I'd like you to share the church information, how they can find your church, your location, service times, and we're going to be ready to close real soon. So I just want to get that information out there for folks who may be looking for a church to attend or visit.
Amen. Amen.
Elder, are you there with me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, sir.
Hello? I'm sorry.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Amen, amen. And
all right.
As Amen. As Deacon Farr said, I'm Elder Mark Garnes, and you can visit our church at, we are New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. We are located in Woodlawn, Maryland. The address is 1724 Woodlawn Drive, suite number 2, and the zip code is 21207. We're in the Gwin Oak area, Baltimore County. If you're in the area, Baltimore City, Baltimore County, if you're just looking for a church, we're a small ministry, growing, loving, full of love, awesome men's ministry, children's ministry, women's ministry, reaching out to just change lives in the area. You can find us at newvisionforlife.com. Once again, that's newvisionforlife.com to find all of our church information. Our Sunday worship services start at 9:30 for our discipleship class, which is our open discussion Bible study. And our normal our regular worship service starts at 11 o'clock. We are led by our senior pastor, Apostle Etta Banks, our beloved senior pastor of our church, a woman of God who has truly been a blessing. So we just invite you to come out. Once again, you can find all of our information at newvisionforlife.com. Listen to our services, see what we have going on, look at our calendar, and just check us out on Facebook as well. We're at New Vision for Life, once again, also on Facebook. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. I thank you for that, and I send my prayers and blessings for Bishop Apostle Banks, and let her know that I thank her for all she's done, because we've known each other now. It's going on a couple of years now. I think about it all the time. It's been a couple of years since we first met. But amen. Amen. And I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. My home church is Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship. We're located in Hanover, Maryland at 7466 New Ridge Road. We can be reached at 443-891-3094. Our website is JesusLivesMinistry.org. Service times are 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. We have Bible study at 7 p.m. on Tuesday nights. We provide transportation, and we're in the Hanover, Anne Arundel County area. We're about, between my church and Elder's church, I think it's about 15 miles. So, you know, we overlap in some things, but yet there's a community, and then Harvest is out there for the unbelieving. So we encourage you to reach out to either one of our churches. Come by, visit us, go on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You see the link for both churches, and my pastor is Pastor George Sharps. Brother, I'm going to read one thing as we close, and then I want you to close us out in prayer, and you can have the final comment. I'm reading from a section in Charles Stanley's book, one of the books we recommend here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, Man of God, Leading Your Family by Allowing God to Lead You. And we have a definition of what a man is, because we know in this culture, in this time, we want to redefine what manhood is, womanhood is, what marriage is, but yet we're going to be true and honest to what God says. So I want to share this real quick. A real man is, he is one who understands and accepts the responsibilities of the development of his mental, emotional, and spiritual capacity, and demonstrates this by his maturing attitude and actions in his personal life, his home life, his vocational life, his social life, and his spiritual life. That is what a man is. He takes responsibility for his development. He takes responsibility for who he is, who he's going to be, and his situation that he's in. Amen? So I want to encourage all the brothers. Thank you for listening. Again, this is the Issue Christian Men's Talk. We are live every Saturday morning at 9, every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and you can reach out to us on Facebook. Elder Mark, you can close us out in prayer and your closing comments, brother. Thank you again for joining me, and be blessed.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. To the listeners, to all those online, to those on the web, I thank you for joining with us, allowing me to share. Deacon Farr, thank you for that, allowing me to share and to be a part of this awesome show that you have put together. And it's truly a blessing. And to the men, to my brothers, if you desire a change, if you desire something different than what the world has told you are or told you you're not, God truly is the answer. And as Deacon Farr said, find a ministry to connect with. Find a Christian that you know. Find someone to go and pray. Find some place that you can share in Bible study. Change in your life is a possibility. So many of us look at it like we can't change. We've been through too much. Trust me, I've been places I should have never been, but it's only by the grace of God that I've made it thus far. So I empower you, I encourage you that you change life and look at life in a different way, and you'll see how these principles, living these principles, can make life different for you. Father God, we honor you and bless you and thank you for another opportunity to share, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that this conversation, this time, Lord God, has not only been just a good conversation, Lord God, but a conversation that's done good in the hearts of people that had a chance to listen. We thank you for your blessings, your grace, your love, and your mercy. As always, we stand beside you as you are standing with us. We honor you and praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Back to you, sir.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, and God bless.